Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Fantasy Sports Today.
What is up? Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Alongside Greg Bynum and the all-in beast, Jake Seeley, I am Greg Sussman. Greg Bynum, what's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing well. You sound good. I know you can't hear anything, but you sound good.
I can hear stuff now.
Oh, now you can hear stuff.
It's a little too loud, actually, but I'll fix it later.
You can lower it. Yeah. There's a whole dial over there. You can lower it. All right. How you doing?
Oh, sorry. I'm great. It's the week.
It's the week.
It's the week.
Yeah.
You know, it's the NFL draft.
Yeah.
World Cup Prism Soccer came out, but the Big Kahuna came out. Bowman Baseball,
the Big Kahuna. Also for me last night, I'm great. So I was going to a draft party, and one of my buddies was going to pick up some beers for me. He was going to like a craft beer store. I was like, hey, whatever you get, I'm fine. He like is really annoying. He has all these questions. I'm like, dude, whatever you get, I want. Well, I'm going to get this. Great, no problem. I don't care. Pick up whatever you want, and I will take that. So, well, we should in cans. It's like, I'm going to get three cans. I go, then get me three cans. It's like the very, very simple. They're like three tall boys. I don't care what it is. Well, I like IPAs. I love IPAs. Josh, get it. And he texts me and he's like, so I don't think I'm coming. I'm like, what do you mean you're not coming? My wife just went into labor. I'm like, what? Your wife just, when you do that, everyone can see you doing that.
Sorry.
It's okay. My wife just went into labor. I'm like, what do you mean your wife just went into labor? Had a baby this morning.
That's great.
Unbelievable. And he's apologizing to me for not bringing beer. I'm like, dude, I don't, like, what? Had a kid this morning. Unbelievable. And he's a Giants fan, and he's a huge Penn State fan.
Did he name him Saquon?
I asked him to name the middle name Saquon. He did
Why not.
Not
the first name?
It's a girl.
So? Have you ever heard of Saquon before Barkley?
No.
So why can't it be a unisex name?
He went with Maddie instead.
That's nice.
It is nice. Jake Seeley, the all-in beast. What's up, buddy?
What's going on? I could have went with Eli. I mean, that kind of works.
I was all about Alicia, man. Name it Alicia.
There you go.
It's close enough.
Isn't Eli Elisha? So, I mean, it's close enough.
Yes, it is. It is. Jake, we were just talking. We're breaking down the draft. You can check that out earlier on in the video. Rewind it. Greg's here. We're going to open up this awesome Bowman box. Look for the big money Shohei Ohtani card in there. Crossing fingers.
Oh, my God. Crossing toes.
Greg will not let me open this box. I can assure you that.
I can promise you I won't let you touch this box.
Which is probably smart of
him. Knocking it on the table. These are thin cards.
Which is probably smart of him. We're going to do that coming up in about 15 minutes from now. But, Jake, I want to start off where we left. I want to get into your thoughts in a moment on the draft. Yep. But I want to start where we left off. And that was Martavis Bryant. Because I was very surprised all of a sudden where I saw a tweet about it and it came up on the screen. Martavis Bryant. Traded to the Oakland for the number 75 pick. I want to be honest, Jakey. I don't actually know what to think of this. So if you could help me out, that would be great.
Fantasy purposes, not much, obviously. I mean, this is going to help Amari Cooper and Jordy Nelson more than it does for Martavis Bryant. Because it'll allow both of them, I don't know if it'll be full time for either one of them. But let them want to work out of the slot more. Which helps Cooper for his game. Helps Nelson at this point of his career. It'll be interesting to see which way they go with that. This is more for the fact, like, you know what? If you want to take a flyer on Bryant and the fact that he's on a team that actually wants to see if they can get something out of him still, that's an interesting, you know, it's the changing in the landscape. Because he never really built off that rookie season going into the second year where it's like, oh, look at this potential he has. On the downside of it, he's obviously going downgrade in quarterback from Roethlisberger to Carr. For a production standpoint, for fantasy standpoint, numbers-wise, there's an argument at this point of their careers who you like more, and I like Derek Carr as a real-life quarterback. I've always think he's overrated for fantasy, but that's what it is. You're just hoping he could break out, but the thing is here is he's going to be number three. If Nelson, at this point of his stage, has nothing left or gets hurt, maybe he can step up, be reinvigorated by being on a new team. But I think this is smart by the Raiders because it's kind of one of those, hey, you know what? Let's take a flyer. Maybe we can get something out of him and get that promise we saw to
Well, you know what's really interesting is he's finally some youth, Greg, right? Like, what I haven't really understood much of what John Gruden's doing, but I understand taking a chance on a talented wide receiver who unfortunately had some personal issues, kept him off the field, some personality issues as well. But he's got talent, and I certainly respect Oakland going out and getting a talented wide receiver. What do you think about Martavis Bryant?
I love this trade, personally.
Okay.
I mean, Gruden's a much different coach than Tomlin, and I think that his heart style will keep him in line. But also, like Jake said, Jordy Nelson's injuries, Amari Cooper's drops. He's got a great opportunity there.
Yeah, of course.
I love it, personally, because I was a fan of Bryant in Pittsburgh. And yes, I understand he may move down the depth chart, but there's more opportunity for him to climb.
Well, it's interesting, him paired with Jordy Nelson. We know at this stage of his career, Jake, Jordy Nelson is a red zone threat and a red zone target. I get all of that. But he can't stretch the field like he once could. Martavis Bryant kind of fits that role. Is he somebody that... He's not going to get the hype that he got last year or the last several years in fantasy football, but is he someone that we... Listen, you can take a flyer on?
Yeah, you could definitely take a flyer on. That's what I'm saying. There's upside. It's similar to what the Raiders are doing. You're taking an upside gamble on the fact that the talent we saw is something that's still there. It's still built within him. Maybe he's got some of his issues worked out and figured out, and you keep him on the field, and you keep him developing, and he turns into what people hoped he could be. I still think he's limited in this game, and that's a whole other story. But the opportunity is here, especially, like, I go back to it, as I said, and, you know, Greg just said it too, is the fact that Jordy Nelson, at last year, the year before, might have been very much boosted by the play of Aaron Rodgers. He's a great touchdown maker, great talented wide receiver. But at this point, he might be done because, you know, Grant, we didn't get a huge sample when Aaron Rodgers came back. It didn't look very good in that one game, even with him at that point.
Oh, okay. I thought you were time in. All right, yeah, so there you go. Of course, that's Martavis Bryant. Traded last night, very, very quietly, traded last night to Oakland. And I think when you're speaking of Pittsburgh, you have to talk about the moment with Ryan Shazier on the draft last night, walking across the stage. My opinion on this is actually very, very different from everybody else, but I want to get both of your thoughts on it first. What did you think of Ryan Shazier last night?
I thought it was wonderful. I thought it did a lot for football to see, listen, this guy had this devastating injury, could have been paralyzed for life, and he's walking, he's in good spirits. I think it's a good message. And to me, it was one of the best parts of the night, if not the best, to do that. You know,
Jake?
It was touching.
Yeah.
So, first of all, the moment itself was amazing. It's just great to see him out there, great to see him walking. The second part of it, and I hate to say this, but I mean, it's true, it actually wasn't a great look for the NFL. I mean, you're on a national stage, the entire world is watching because of the NFL draft, and you see the effect of what football does and the risk of what football is and why we have so much attention being paid, rightfully so, to neck injuries, head injuries, all the situations in the NFL in general. Like that had to force people, again, go down that road of like, do I want my kids playing this game? So for the NFL standpoint, not great, especially with what they're going through. Hopefully they continue to go down this road and use technology and try to figure out a way to make things safer. But again, as for Shazier himself, that was an amazing moment and probably the highlight, just a moment of the draft.
You know, it's interesting. So I saw the tweet from Schefter that one of the greatest moments in draft history are about to happen. And we figured it out that it was going to be Ryan Shazier. I thought it was going to be Shazier or the dude with one arm being taken in the first round. I thought that would have been cool too. But it was Shazier, and that's awesome. But
Shaquem Griffin.
Shaquem Griffin, exactly, yes. Thank you. But my first reaction was more like your second reaction, Jake. This guy was hit so terribly in such a violent sport that it took him this long to be able to walk again. And then he thought he could never walk again. It's unbelievable that he could walk. And he's barely walking at this point, right? He's barely walking. He's being held up by his significant other, held up by Roger Goodell. And it was sad, man. I was just like, this is a terrible look for the NFL. And I felt bad for the kid that was drafted that had to stand there. Like, what do you do? You're standing next to this guy that can barely walk. And I understand he wants to be part of the NFL. And they're like, what a rewarding moment. Look, Ryan Shazier's walking again. This is a terrible look for the NFL. He looked, Ryan Shazier, as unbelievable as he looked terrible. And then I know that's like obviously hypocritical what I'm saying and it doesn't make any sense, but as good as he looked, which is amazing for him, he looked terrible. And it was sad, and it didn't make me like cry of happiness or get enjoyment. I was just like, I felt gross inside for enjoying this game, like this is what it does for a man's life. And I thought back to Davante Adams, who was concussed so many times this past year and got up and played again. And God knows what his life will look like in 10 years. And I didn't feel mushy. I felt gross watching this guy barely walk across the stage. Yeah.
I understand what you're saying. I can see that.
Yeah. It was an uneasy feeling.
Yeah, it was. It was an uneasy feeling. Exactly.
I guess I was just looking at the positive.
Yeah, and that's what the majority of people did. People on Twitter, not a dry eye in the house, and that's awesome. That's what the NFL wanted. That's what it should be, right? It should be a happy moment. I just couldn't get it away. And maybe it was just the crowd that I was with that all kind of felt the same way, but he couldn't walk. This poor dude couldn't walk. And I know he was almost supposed to never walk again. I understand that. Man, it was... Oh, boy, I did not feel good about that. I really didn't. All right, let's turn around a little bit. Let's cheer up here. We're fantasy sports today. Greg Biden's in the house. Jake Seeley, the All-In Beast, is in the house here for the next few minutes. I haven't talked to you, Greg, at all about the draft. Number one overall pick was Baker Mayfield. What'd you think?
Well, prior to the draft, I was on the Browns bandwagon.
Okay.
I jumped on it recently. I had my friend bet them to win the Super Bowl when they got Tyrod Taylor 100-1. I personally, I'm not a Baker fan.
Okay.
I didn't like his antics, you know. I didn't like how at Ohio State, when they beat them, he tried to stick the flag not once but twice into an AstroTurf field.
Yes, he did.
You know, and all these little things, you know, after Johnny Manziel and the experience they've had. Yep. I don't know. But then again, there's the double negative curse. You know, the Browns haven't had a right QB, and when was the last time a Heisman winner won a Super Bowl? So maybe those two cancel out and he's good.
Okay, I need to be transparent. I like to think I'm always transparent to the listeners, but I need to be even more transparent. So Biden walks in here, and he's like, is it cool if I rip Baker Mayfield? I was like, yeah, dude, if you like Baker Mayfield, rip him. Like, whatever, that's cool. So, I don't want to come off, whatever. I go, if you want to rip him, rip him. If that's called ripping Baker Mayfield, dude.
Well,
gotta rip him. You don't like him. Tell us you don't like him.
I don't like his size.
You don't like his size. You don't like his antics. You think he's going to stink?
I don't know if he's going to stink, but I don't think he's as good as everyone makes him out to be. I mean, listen, I haven't sat there and watched a tape and are familiar with all these guys, but I'm not a fan.
Okay.
You know, like, I just see Johnny Manziel all over again.
But why do you see Johnny Manziel? Because he's brash?
He's brash, the size, the bravado.
But I think the talent's a little bit different, right? Like, this is a dude that walked on two major programs, and one of the Heisman was a superstar and became the number one overall pick.
I understand. I mean, if you watched the draft last night, every pick someone's going to disagree with. I know Mel Kiper got very upset with some of the picks.
When, sure.
You know, they weren't close to what he had. So I just thought Baker was going to fall out of the top 10.
All right, you thought he was going to fall out of the top 10. Jake, we discussed it earlier. I want to go over it again, though. What did you think here of the Baker Mayfield number one overall pick?
I have no problem with it. You know, that is whether it was him or Darnold, whoever they decided to be. I thought those were the two choices they came down to. And talk about talent, I'm going to make the comparison again. He's the Odell Beckham of quarterbacks. The talent is real, and when people are just questioning the height, and if he was 2 inches taller, this would have been a locked-in pick 2 months ago. We wouldn't even be having a discussion, but everybody's afraid of the height. Fact is, 80% of the pass plays come from shotgun these days in the NFL. He's going to be fine. There's metrics up and down the board from Pro Football Focus, from deep dives from other players out there and or people on Twitter out there. And the fact is, if you look at it, the most accurate quarterback, whether you're talking about under pressure or with a clean pocket, all the way up to about 40 yards downfield. And Graham Barfield, who I'm having on Odd Target next week, has pointed this out. That's an overrated stat. About 6% of the snap or passes in the NFL are over 40 yards. So why do we put so much basis on that? It's actually overvalued. He's a terrific player.
Terrific value. There you go. What do you think of Saquon Barkley going at 2 overall? Did that surprise you? You loved it.
I mean, personally, I think the Giants should have traded down and picked up some more players, but yep. I have no problem with it. I mean, this guy is a once-in-a-lifetime player, potentially.
Right.
He showed it in college. I mean, I'm a Big Ten guy, and, you know, what they did to Michigan this year was heartbreaking, the way he destroyed us, and, you know, he seems to be able to do that against anyone, you know, and with the other weapons the Giants have, really creates a dynamic offense that is something to be feared.
Is he somebody that in fantasy football that you are interested in picking now?
100%.
Like first round picking?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Right. You?
Yeah, I'd pick him in the first round. He's that talented. He's that talented. Jake, one thing I was thinking, though, in the time that I've asked you about Saquon Barkley, is Evan Ingram. As amazing as Evan Ingram was last year, I know that Gettleman wants to go to a little more ground and pound. You have Sterling Shepard, you have Odell, and now you have Saquon. Is Evan Ingram going to get lost in this offense? Or are they going to want somebody that can block better than him? What's the deal with Evan Ingram?
No, because one of the things Gettleman said is you have to like how good Barkley is in pass protection, because that's why you drafted him with a number two pick, is because you wanted to pick up blitzes. So, I'm sorry. I don't want to go down that road again. All that being said, Evan Ingram is not going to get lost. Now, Evan Ingram may be taking another step forward, as some people are projecting, and getting all too excited about him, starting to put him right behind like Kelce and Gronk and stuff like that. That's obviously too aggressive. I think you could expect similar to what we saw last year this season again. I think that's very reasonable. He's that talented. He's a great weapon. My only concern, and I said this earlier this morning on Twitter, that the Barkley drafting, and because Dez keeps saying he wants to go to the Giants and has come out and said that he wants a one-year prove-it deal and turn down the Ravens' long-term contract, that is seeming more likely to me by the day that the Giants might actually bring in Dez and make Eli Manning's head explode. Now, if you bring in Dez Bryant, now you got to tick down him.
That's a really, really good point. Jake, any final thoughts on the draft? I know we got to let you go in a moment. Any final thoughts on the draft here?
I wish there was a few more trades. I'm thrilled Lamar Jackson went in the first round and went to the Ravens like I had hoped and seen. I'm just more excited for tonight. I think there's going to be even more trades, see some of these wide receivers come off.
All right, so there you go. We're about to hit a break. What do we got? What do we got in this box? What's coming up next, Greg?
Oh, we got the Bowman Baseball. It's the home of the rookie.
You won't even let me touch it.
You can touch it.
Let me touch the box. Why is this the home of the rookie? What's going on?
Because it has their first card.
Okay.
It's not technically a rookie, but it's the first card. So anytime you get the first Bowman card of a player, that's the most valuable of all the baseball cards, of the like the signature of the rookies. So yeah, there was an article.
I want to hold this up. Just an example of what it could be. There you go.
This is actually a subset. This is a great time for fantasy because this is Bowman Scouts Top 100 Prospects.
Okay.
So this is an insert series. So these are guys that are nowhere near getting up to being up soon, and it's their 100. So as you're going through the cards and looking at it, it helps you, you know, learn players that are going to be on your radar in the, maybe at the end of this year, next year, or even the year after.
Inside here, Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah,
the first card. Back with you, Fantasy Sports Today, special edition. Give you a little draft breakdown. Top. Ooh, that is loud. Let's put that away from the mic. There you go. Season of FST, three different co-hosts coming in with me today. We got Jake Seeley, who has moved on. Not like forever, but just moved on for the day. Greg Biden is here. We're going to open some cards the next 20 minutes with him. And then Nando DeVito is going to come upstairs. And it's going to be Nando and I for a little while.
There you go. It's a carousel of hosts.
Exactly. Carousel of hosts, all here on a special Friday edition of Fantasy Sports Today. All right. What do we have here? What's the plan? What are we doing?
All right. So what we have here is a 2018 Bowman Baseball. It's the first big product of the year, and it's arguably the biggest product of the year, even though it's not the most expensive product.
Okay.
Because there's so many cards, there's so many players, there's so many rookies. But just to give you an idea, this product has more than doubled in price before it even came out. Because of the Ohtani cards.
Okay. If you grabbed an Ohtani today, besides celebrating and buying us all drinks, obviously, would you run to sell it tomorrow?
Like, no.
You're going to hold it. Okay.
No, well, I mean, actually, I'd get it to Sharon. I'd get it to Sharon, but we would try. We want to see if it's gradable first.
Okay.
Because, like, grading a card can, if you get a 10, it could be worth 10 times what a 9.5 or something else is. So, like, I wouldn't be rushing to sell it today.
Unless,
you know, I told that one of one that's being offered $60,000,
right,
I'm putting it in an auction because I think it's going to go for six figures.
Oh, my God.
If one of the big dealers in America, one of the four biggest, is offering $60 to buy it, what does that mean they think it's going to sell for?
Right.
So, I mean, you know, I think you get a better chance of getting struck by lightning while being in a plane crash than pulling it. But
hey, well, I mean, someone's got to pull it.
You know, there are cards from years that haven't been pulled because not every product gets opened.
Right.
So,
right.
This one, I mean, it'll be interesting. People are holding back stuff to raise the price and to generate more interest, but you never know. It could be pulled today. It could be in this box right here.
You're giving me the chills. Give me the chills. All right. You do your thing.
All right.
So Greg is not allowing me to touch the cards.
No,
he thinks I'm a little rough with them.
For sake of the show, we're not going to look through every card just because of...
No, but we are, you know, we are obviously a fantasy program. We're on a fantasy sports radio network. So once you go through the card, let me see some.
All right. So like, what I was talking about, just to get a close-up of this card right here. Ibando Isabel. Never heard of him. He's probably a low minor league guy for the Dodgers, but if you see in the corner, it says first Bowman card. So I always put these aside. Any first Bowman card is always a hold.
Okay.
Unless the guy's killing it in the majors right now. But most of these guys aren't up yet.
Is Ronald Acuna in there?
Ronald Acuna is in here, but his first card was actually a year ago.
Oh, what about like Walker Buehler?
Buehler's first card was the 2015 draft product when he was drafted.
Okay.
Just to give you an idea of how far some of these guys are. Vladimir Guerrero was 2016. Fernando Tatis was 2016. Cody Bellinger was 2015.
Gleyber Torres, Miguel Andujar.
Gleyber Torres was 2015, the same as the Cody Bellinger.
So all of the rookies that we're coming to know this year are all a year or two ago.
Yeah, Eli Jimenez's first card came out before his first auto. That's why I said it's so. The odds are so crazy because unlike those big stuff we open with the big cards, where it's one pack a box. This box has 24 packs. There's 12 boxes in a case.
Don't slam that. I mean, you might be slamming down on Otani.
Exactly. But I mean, like I said, it's a fun product. You know, I was with my main man Madden yesterday. I took him to the comic book baseball card store, and we bought one pack and there's cool inserts. He was so excited.
Yeah.
Because there was a card, and hopefully I'll get one like it, where there was three players in the minor leagues. So it shows that the pipeline, one in A, one in AA, one
that's
in
cool.
AAA. So, like, when you're thinking about cards, this is actually probably the most fantasy-relevant product, especially if you're in a dynasty or keeper league.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, moving on.
Well, every time you grab one, let's show the camera. So let's show the camera.
Yeah, like here you have Matt Thaiss.
Just a little, so you can see it. There we go.
You know, he was in the 2016 draft by the Angels, one of their top prospects. But it's already his third or fourth card, and yet, where's he now? Double A? Has he even made it up to Triple A yet?
I have no idea. This Cal Quantrill card seems cool.
Yeah, that's an insert. Insert card.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It's a cool card, everybody. This is a Cal Quantrill, the son of Paul Quantrill.
You know, here's a guy we talked about last week, Max Fried.
Yeah!
Got shelled in his first outing.
Yeah!
Has he pitched an inning, a recordable inning yet?
I don't think so. Every time you take a card, turn them around so people can see some stuff. We have the cameras on you. We want to make sure they're seeing what we're seeing. We're also live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network here as well. He's throwing me all the cards, including a Victor Robles, guys. Victor Robles, of course, we thought he'd be called up when Adam Eaton went down. It didn't happen because he got hurt as well. Instead, we went with Michael Taylor, and Michael Taylor has been running wild as of late.
Taylor was already up and starting before he even got hurt.
Yes.
It was Billy Goodwin that they called up, and then...
Brian Goodwin, but yeah.
Brian Goodwin, that was close. Well, which Sierra is it that they had? Moises?
I believe it's Moises, yeah.
There's like four. There's another Sierra in here on the Astros. That's his first card.
Sure. You're flying through this trying to find this Otani.
Well, you know, there's a lot in this product. You know, and like I said,
all right, you keep saying there's a lot of products, right? There's a lot going on. Other than Otani, what's the best other card we can find today?
Luis Robert, right here.
We found it?
Well, I mean, it's a paper one. It's not valuable as the chrome.
Hold it up for everybody else.
Luis Robert, he and Hunter Green are probably the three biggest names in this.
Okay.
Hunter Green being the number two pick in the 2017 draft.
Yep.
What Topps always does is they have a draft product, but they'll hold a couple guys back because you can't put everyone out immediately. You need, you know, even though there's an endless supply of minor leaguers,
right?
You got to have some names that are real names to generate interest in the product.
Okay.
So that's why they did that with Green.
So why is that card who we're looking for?
We're looking for the autographs of these guys. Let me be, you know.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, listen, if you can get numbered, as we go through it, you'll see that they have numbered cards also.
So why is this Luis Robert not a good one then?
It's not a good one. It's not a bad one. I'm just, the paper cards don't hold the value. It's maybe $1, $2 max.
Okay.
You know, of course, when I want to show you one, I don't have it, but we'll get to it. You know, here's another fun subset they have for these guys.
Hold
rookie
up,
of the year
else.
Favorites. You know, Nick Williams got Gabe Kapler's killing right now.
Yes, he is.
I picked him over Althea and regretting it right
now. Yeah, Aaron Altair. I was an Aaron Altair guy, man. He was talented last year. All right. He's no interest there in Aaron Altair.
I mean, what's he batting? Is he batting his weight?
Yeah, so just for those wondering, it's not just rookies and players you don't know that are in this card set. Like,
Hold on, I'm going to cut you off. Here's your Aaron Altair.
Oh, there's my Aaron Altair. How about that right there? So there's an Aaron Altair card right there. I have a ton of these guys that he's just giving me because he doesn't want them. From guys like Josh Donaldson, who I have right there. I think the Brandon Crawford, Albert Pujols, Andrew Benintendi. All these guys are giving you fits right now in fantasy baseball. They're in my hand.
So, perfect. Here's Gleyber.
Oh, Gleyber, the Gleyber Torres.
Gleyber, yeah, but, you know, it's his third Yankee card already. You know, he's been in products for years, so kind of devalued. You know, it's more for a collector, like, of Yankees, like our kid. This is a great product for kids because of all the players and, you know.
How much did this box cost? Because I know there's a...
Today, this box is going for almost $200.
Wow!
I paid $90 a box.
And when did you buy it?
Very early.
You bought it very early. This is $200 a box right now.
Oh, it's two.
Give or take, whatever.
Yeah.
1 month from now, if that Ohtani is not found, how much is that box worth?
It's just going to keep going up.
Crazy.
It's just going to keep going up. So as I was mentioning before with the paper, you know, this is... MJ Melendez, never heard of him, but that doesn't mean anything. But if you see, and it's hard to see on the camera, he's numbered to 250. So
okay.
Just like with the other products, the low numbers, these are the only paper cards typically that have any interest, the low numbers. So if you get a one-of-one paper Ohtani, it's still ridiculous.
All right. Let's find it then.
Yeah.
If
you want to open, you can. Just don't ding the cards on the table.
Wow. Folks, if I find the Ohtani right here, I'm going to run.
You'll bend the corner. And
how many autographs? One autograph per box.
One autograph in a box of this, but there's also a few other special subsets
okay. That
are only available. There's a Bowman Sterling card, and there's a special atomic refractor that's only in here.
All right, so there are some special cards in there as well, right?
Now, here's a guy to talk about.
Sure.
Tommy Pham.
Yeah, Tommy Pham, man.
He's
crazy light. Are you slamming that on the table right there?
No.
All right, making sure.
Get into the camera angle. He's a paper card, so it's okay, but... What's going on with him? You know, like,
Ooh, this is a cool card. So you had that card before. You can hold that up again. Of Chance Adams, right? Like, that 67 out of 100 is pretty cool. So I found an inset here of another former Yankee here, Jorge Mateo, in the same type of card.
Yeah, and you see Chance Adams is number 67, Mateo is number 97.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, again, this is just Bowman's rankings.
Yeah, it's Bowman's rankings there. And that's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool subset.
This is the one I was talking about, the type of card that we got excited about yesterday. It's called the Talent Pipeline. It's for the Twins. So they're highlighting Royce Lewis, last year's number one pick in single A, a former top pick, Nick Gordon, in double A, D. Gordon's brother.
Oh, okay, cool.
Isn't he D. Gordon's brother?
Sure.
I'm pretty sure he is.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, and then Steven Gonzalez in triple A.
Right.
You know, and it's a pretty card.
Is it a cool card, too, I just found? It's not a paper card. It's a cool card.
Well, yeah, these are the chrome cards. That's what I was talking to you about. There's two chrome rookies in every pack.
So that's one of them.
Only the rookies, only the Bowman, the BCP, the Bowman Chrome Prospects, they're called.
Okay.
If you look on the back, they have a BCP number.
Okay.
And versus the regular cards, you have a regular number. I got a Kyle Tucker here.
Sure.
And like I was saying, the ones that have the first Bowman card on it are much more interesting.
Much
we got to look at the paper here because Ohtani's only paper, just so you know.
Autographs
will be chrome.
I'm looking at every one. I found a cool Francisco Mejia in a chrome, which is pretty cool. Hold that one up. I have a cool Francisco Mejia.
Oh, that's
right there.
The Bowman Sterling one.
Oh, I got a Bowman Sterling.
This is only available in the hobby right now.
Is that worth anything?
I the pricing's, it literally came out Wednesday.
Right.
This is definitely worth something. The market hasn't set itself yet.
Sure. All right.
It's very volatile the first few days, just like anything.
So that's a pretty cool card,
a very cool card. Very, right. Very excited because, you know, could have been someone who's...
Greg does not get excited very often about the cards I pull. So the fact that he's excited about that one, he literally put it down into a case. I didn't damage it.
I said I don't want to damage it.
I actually opened it the way you taught me.
You know, that's important.
He's flying through cards, people. For those that are listening, he's flying through cards.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that what we're supposed to do?
How do you feel we're doing with this pack so far? I know we don't have Ohtani, but how are we doing?
We're doing good. I mean,
the one I pulled.
I got Nick Prado the other day.
Okay.
You know, I'd much rather have Mejia than Prado in the starting.
Do you think Francisco Mejia comes up this year?
Yes.
You do.
Okay. I mean, are you happy with Yan Gomes?
We've probably opened, what, like half the boxes so far?
Close, yeah.
We've opened half the packs. How many of these Bowman boxes for the Ohtani have you looked for? How many of these boxes have you opened?
Well, this is only my... sixth box, seven. No, sorry. Tenth box.
Tenth box.
I have several cases at home. I may hold some. I'm definitely opening some more.
Okay.
But it's like I told you, this week's a big week. It's like a national holiday.
It is.
Sharon's up in Boston right now getting us the at a big show, getting us all the intel.
Oh, you know, Francis is going to be here for you, by the way.
There you go. Thank you. And here's a guy. We talked about the when is Flaherty getting called up?
Jack Flaherty will be up tomorrow.
Is that confirmed?
That's confirmed. He's starting for the Cardinals tomorrow.
That's good to know. But is he going to stay up?
I think he does. You know what? I think he does. I don't know what Wainwright's deal is, how quickly he'll come back. But I think he will stay up.
I think it's time to put Wainwright out the pasture.
That's not very nice, but sure.
Because, you know, there's not, it's sports.
I understand.
Oh, here we go. We got, speaking of Gleyber, see, this one is cool.
Glaber.
We correct. Tomato, tomato.
We correct people on FST. That's our thing.
Okay. Yeah. So what's nice about this, it's a chrome card and it's numbered to 125. So this has, you see on the front, it's got a number to.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You looked at me and I didn't know.
No, I was talking in my ear. Sorry.
All right. Alex Fado, is he getting called up?
I don't know. The thing with the Tigers, you got to remember, they're going to take as long as they possibly can with these guys.
I know.
I got some cool cards players I've never heard of. I probably should be separating these better for you.
That's okay.
I'm just kind of just putting them in a pile.
Honestly,
you don't care if it's not a Tani.
No. I just care about the chrome cards. What we do with these is, I guess my cousin was in town from Cleveland last week.
Right.
She's got two boys, young boys.
I should separate. You know,
I'm going to be honest. I'm going to get you this. I don't remember their ages, but they sent me a voice text
last
night.
Your nephews? You don't know their ages?
They're not my nephews. They're my cousin's kids.
Okay, fine.
And they're in Columbus, so let's.
Right, so I didn't separate the cards that you want.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
As long as you don't glass over the autograph. But as I was saying, like I gave her some cards to give them, and these kids were over the moon. Just over the moon. That's what we do with like the smaller stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and it helps kids to get into cards.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
You know, it's great. There was an article on Bleacher Report the other day about a Ben Simmons rookie that the guy thinks $150,000 isn't enough. Ben Simmons, last year.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
Whoa, boy.
We got an Ohtani.
Okay.
This is his Topps rookie.
Okay.
His Bowman rookie, I should say.
Right.
You know, a couple dollars.
Oh.
A couple dollars, but you know what?
Why is that the number one on the corner of the card?
What's that? I didn't hear what you said.
Hold on. So, what do you...
It says RC in the corner. It says rookie card.
It says pitcher DH in the corner. It's a rookie card. There's a B in the corner for Bowman.
Yes, all the cards have B in the top corner. That's the product.
I'm just describing this one. It says 49 on the back, it looks like.
That's his card. That's the card number if you're making the set.
All right, there you go. So,
and what you missed is the RC over here.
I said that rookie card.
Oh, yeah, RC's rookie card, yes.
Yep. So now could there be another Ohtani in here, like signed?
We haven't gotten the autograph yet.
We have not gotten the autograph yet.
You know, that golden
card. Here's a Fernando Tatis paper one.
There you go.
There you go. We're still looking for the autograph. It is still possible. We get Shohei Ohtani autograph. We're opening it up here. We're going to kill the stream in about 3 minutes. Greg's going to go. We'll bring up Nando.
Okay,
as we can see over the pass. We're going our way here. Three more minutes to go.
The good thing is, Red Felt Breaks over there.
You have what?
How many unopened do you have over there?
None.
All right, we got five left.
Ooh, this is a cool one. Rookie of the Year favorite. This is a cool subset.
They're beautiful cards, the chrome cards.
When are we, speaking of the NFL draft, when do we see like Saquon Barkley in a Giants uniform?
It's funny. Panini came out with its draft pick contenders last week, and there was another product that they came out with, but they're in their collegiate uniforms. But as a matter of fact, I got two boxes the other day. And I got a Saquon Barkley, and I forget the tight end's name. Gasecki?
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
One of one.
That's great.
Sharon's got it with her in Boston if you want to go visit the Black Jaded Wolf at the show.
Absolutely. Also, make sure you check out Red Felt Breaks on Twitter, on Instagram. Great stuff there.
Yeah. You could see we actually pulled a Brendan McKay one of one.
Beautiful.
The next Ohtani. You know, being that he's going to pitch and hit, probably.
Oh, there's another Luis Robert for you.
Oh, that's a good Luis Robert.
Yeah.
It's interesting. He's not the number 29 prospector calling him
in
baseball. I got the number 8 guy, Michael Kopech. Do we think he's going to get called up?
Oh, I love Kopech. Yeah, I think he gets called up in June.
In June to get that extra.
Exactly.
All right.
Here's my last pack, by the way.
And I have one pack left.
No autograph, unless we missed
it. I was talking about the atomic refractors.
Ooh.
You know, our friend Jimmy at Monesi Comics sold another case to someone else.
Right.
And they got an Ohtani to 100 autograph.
That was pretty messed up with Jimmy.
Well, you know, Jimmy doesn't know what's in the case.
I'm just saying, it's pretty messed
up. And honestly, it was my fault because I was the first. I was there when UPS came. That's how excited I was to pick up the case I pre-ordered from him, and I chose the case. So I don't blame anyone but myself.
It's not Jimmy's fault. It's your fault. All right, we're still looking for the autograph.
Here we go.
I got one here. Unless we missed it.
which should be Shonda.
Yeah, that'd be bad. Oh, Alex Verdugo, Matt Modica's favorite. I'll say this for him. I have the autograph. Uh-oh. And it is not Shohei Ohtani. Damn.
Have you heard of him?
No.
That's never... That doesn't mean it's not... It's
Nationals outfielder Daniel Johnson!
Is it his first Bowman card?
I'm not going to touch it. I'll let you touch it.
No, it's not. All right. I don't know who he is. I don't know much about him. It's probably like a $3, $4 card, but he could get called up and be a superstar and drive the market.
Greg Biden, it's a pleasure as always, my friend. Thank you for coming by.
See you next week.
We'll see you next week. When we come back, Greg heads out. Nando heads in. The last 10, 20 minutes of FST comes your way next. FST continues live. We've replaced the Beast. We replaced the other Greg with three G's. And in its place, it's Nando DeFina. Hello,
what's
Nando.
What's up? How are you?
Surprise appearance today on the show.
Yeah. Well, you know, we ran out of people to host.
We had a lot going on.
Well, we had a lot of us were here late last night doing the draft. So
I know you guys did an unbelievable job last night.
Stop it,
Greg. Seriously. It was
Thanks,
great.
Yeah, the video's doing all right, which is nice.
And if you caught, if you caught the coverage live, awesome. If you haven't, there are all these videos breaking down right now. It's
Emory
awesome.
Hunt was out of his mind last night with some of the stuff he was saying, like in a good, like crazy stuff. He was just pulling like recall
because he's that damn good.
Yeah, I know.
He is that damn good.
The guy, the
Wow. So I haven't seen it on demand yet.
Yeah.
What you did for these thumbnails is gorgeous.
Oh, that's Frank. That was Frankie.
This is gorgeous by Frank Staffel. Baby. Like what they did for those that are listening, they basically have a template with a player on the left side and the team that drafted him on the right. Awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Sterling Shepard was here last night. That was cool. He came down like right after the Giants made their pick in 10 minutes. Sterling Shepard just sitting down right here.
Awesome.
And just talking about the Giants and what they did.
Very, very cool. Very, very fun. Cool.
Yeah.
So that was obviously awesome to have Sterling Shepard in the house here in Studio 34. It was a great night. It was a really great night. The guys all did a fantastic job.
We missed you.
I appreciate it, man. But someone had to be here in the morning.
You were missed.
Someone had to be here in the morning.
I know, man. I know.
So we did a great. It was a really great. What did you think of the draft?
I thought it was okay. I didn't really pay much attention to it.
Just working.
I was just like I was pounding things out downstairs the whole time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would catch stuff. But I'm a Giants fan. I'm really happy we got Barkley.
So you like the Barkley pick?
I thought for sure we were getting Lamar Jackson. I'm like, this is the greatest thing that'll ever happen.
Same.
I was just keep falling.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I was going crazy as a Giants fan. I was like, if he gets to today, Giants are going to take him.
I know. But such is life.
Such is life.
No way the Eagles, I almost think the Eagles traded to the Ravens just despite the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, there's no idea if the Giants actually wanted Lamar Jackson. Like, I had this vision.
Can you imagine the Giants with Lamar Jackson, Odell Beckham, Saquon Barkley.
Sterling Shepard.
Des Bryant. Evan Ingram.
Insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
Oh, that would have been something else.
That was like the dream. But my problem is Dave Gettleman has been so pro Barkley throughout this whole process, which is whatever.
Yeah.
I feel like he hasn't even thought about what happens next. Like, oh yeah, I got to pick again.
That's what he wants you to think, Greg.
No, so he's like super honest.
He's
like,
playing possum.
I will say this. We kill these GMs and coaches that like constantly lie to us. And then we're killing Dave Gettleman because he like couldn't be more honest.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love Saquon Barkley.
You and Jake did not like... In the video that we just did?
Yeah.
You, Jake, are not fans. Jake especially is not a fan of Dave Gettleman.
I appreciate his honesty. Like, we want guys to be honest, yeah. So I like that. I just don't like his opinions, essentially. Right? Like, I don't like that he is very old school and feels that, listen, analytics don't matter. Like, I'm not Mr. Analytic. You know me. Like, whatever. Jake is, and that's fine. But don't be like, they don't matter. This is stupid. Blah, blah, blah. Come on. That's just so archaic.
Jake has some gut to him. I think Jake gets a little offended, actually, sometimes when you tell him he's all analysis.
I'm not saying he's all analysis. Right. I'm saying he's very into analytics.
That's true.
That's all.
But he's also into GIFs and The Simpsons.
What Jake was saying just an hour ago, that he believes it should be a 50-50 scouting and analytics. Like there is room for both of them. And I mentioned I compared it to Gabe Kapler in Philly. Like he went with the all analytics approach.
He's the official manager of this show.
And everyone loves him now.
Yeah.
And after a week, it didn't work the way Gabe Kapler was doing it. So he changed. He's like, you know what?
Did he change?
Yes. He admitted he did.
Tweaked. I don't know if he changed.
He admitted that he needed to be more receptive.
Sure.
And things like pulling Aaron Nola at 68 pitches was stupid. He admitted that.
This is how you learn.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah. I mean, he only played for like 10 years in the majors, so he hasn't been around the game that much.
But it's being different. Like, you know what? I know you're joking, but like being a manager is obviously very, very different than all of this and everything coming on you. And listen, Aaron Boone here in New York, he's going to be tested.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's going to be tested at some point. When, and yes, a little while ago. They went through like a little losing streak, and they were 500. Everyone went crazy. Now they've won four in a row. They put up a billion runs every game.
Because of Hotto.
And everyone loves Aaron Boone. Yeah. You know, it won't always be like that. So there you go.
Yeah, Greggy.
Did you watch any baseball last night? Did you read about any baseball?
No, honestly. Like, so we finished this at about 12. I don't know why I preface that with honestly. I'm covering for something. We left here like 12:15. We wanted to just grab a drink. Actually, I think we left here more. Maybe 12:30. Anyway, wanted to grab a drink. We tried to go to that place, Cafe Nunez.
Yeah.
That's actually a bar.
Right.
During the day, it's like this crazy buffet place. Right. You know, $7.95 a pound for breakfast with a dude with a sign out front. And at night, it's like a dance club. So it was me, Dane, Florio, and Stanfel. And we're like, all right, let's go get a drink. And we're going to the Cafe Nunez. We just want to try it out, see what it's like.
Yeah.
What's the buffet place? What's it like at night?
Right.
And it wasn't open. Apparently, it's not a Thursday thing. So we hit the new karaoke bar, Muses.
Was it awesome?
Apparently, there was a bet that was made somewhere.
Yes, with Dane and Frank.
Yeah, so Frank had to sing. And they were really getting into picking the song.
What did he sing?
Bohemian Rhapsody. They were trying to find the longest song.
That's possible. Pretty much it.
Yeah, so they gave him Bohemian Rhapsody.
Who was the crew?
It was me, Dane, Florio, and Frankie.
Okay.
Frankie did not make it into work today.
No, so I get a text.
But he had a long day, like a 12-hour day yesterday.
He did. So he came in late. He did some NBA stuff later in the day. We wanted him to come in late. And he knew it. He knew he had this 12-hour day.
Yeah.
But the problem is, as I've learned hanging out with Frank more and more, my BFF, he will not be on BFFs tonight. He can't stop once he starts drinking.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
So, like, you're much like this as well. But, like, I can have a beer or two, but whatever.
I can't. What's the point of having two beers?
Well, that's so Frank agrees.
Yeah.
So...
It's not like he can't stop. Maybe he doesn't want to stop.
No, he says he can't. He can't control himself.
I mean, like, it's almost like if I'm investing $21 in drinking on three beers here.
So Frank and I went out one night.
You're going to double up your investment kind of thing?
So Frank and I went out to a bar one night on a Friday with like a happy hour. Like I had like two beers. Yeah. Frank had like four. Because I knew like we were going to another bar after that to like eat and like drink more. So the next bar, I was then drinking, you know, two or three more beers. And Frank was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, you gotta pace yourself. It's a long night.
No, why?
Pace yourself.
You hit up the happy hour early with the cheap prices.
Right.
And then you like at 7 o'clock, you get some waters. You start like, okay, now. And then you go hard. For like the next 2 or 3 hours, and then you find out where you are.
Yeah,
this two beer thing, and then like that doesn't even give you a buzz.
I had a buzz last night.
Well, maybe Greg, very, there you go.
I drank very heavy beers. So then I get a text. I wake up in the early this morning.
This is cool behind the scenes, the fantasy sports.
Well, I think it's fun to let people know what's going on.
I think so.
So I woke up early this morning, and I never shut my alarm off for real for this morning. But then Judy had to wake up, so it was fine. And I look at my phone for text messages, and my friend was having a child, so I wanted updates on that. And I get a text from Frank. He's like, dude, it's 2:30 in the morning. I am still not home. I'm going to be late. Follow-up text when I woke up for real several hours later, I will not be coming in this morning.
How was he not home at 2:30? They were texting me from their Uber.
I don't know.
When I was getting ready for bed, like, I was already home.
Literally 2:30, I'm still not home.
That's amazing.
Because I checked the time. And then he goes, I'm going to read you this text exactly.
It's good, because Frank, like, the stages of Frank, when he's got the shaved sides and the hair slicked back, and then it started to go out a little bit, and out a little more. By the end of the night, he looked like the professor from Futurama.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It was 2:35 a.m. Eastern. I am not even home yet. I am telling you, I won't be there at 10:30.
Yeah.
9:58 this morning. I am such an idiot. My response is, Jesus, how much did you drink? I've never thrown out the day after drinking, and I just did just now.
Welcome to adulthood.
There is your answer. I said, Jesus, and that was her last text message.
Way to sell out your BFF.
Well, there's nothing secret about this.
I know, but I'm just saying maybe people don't want to think that he's a lightweight.
Frank would tell you. He wasn't lightweight. I'm sure he drank heavily.
Well, so we might have had some drinks in the control room downstairs.
Well, it was a fun atmosphere.
Yeah, it was casual. It wasn't like we were hammering shots. We were doing
working. You're drinking a beer while you're doing some work.
Up here, they had a bunch.
I saw.
Yeah, that was. If you watch the video, there was one point where Corey's getting made fun of for triple fisting. He had two Coronas and a shot. And I was showing my wife, and I'm like, look, they're making fun of Corey for triple fisting. She goes, he's got an empty bottle behind him, too.
It was crazy. It's awesome.
And he was so far down in the chair.
Andy Singleton was in the house
sitting at the bird perch.
Called the bird perch.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That's what he was calling it.
All right.
And we actually ran a poll last night. Who's more smashed, Corey or Andy? And Corey won 72-28. Which I think if people would have seen the behind the scenes.
They would not think that.
It might have been more like 50-50.
Oh my God.
But Andy was making these great points and talking very clearly.
And the
camera comes off and it's like.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He comported himself well.
Why aren't you doing a second and third round night tonight?
No one has any guess.
They've given it all out.
I don't think people want to watch the analysis on the second and third rounds.
You know what's interesting? Like, we kind of projected, and we...
It's like, why don't we do fantasy croquet, you know?
I don't think the second and third rounds like fantasy croquet. Like, David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, and Alvin Kamara in the second and third round.
Yeah, but we found that out, like, 8 months later.
Well, think about this. Like, Saturday of draft weekend last year, they did a live mock draft on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Matt Wodiga was here, Corey was here, and he took Kareem Hunt in the sixth round. That was a big story because he was a third round pick, Kareem Hunt. That's a story.
Right.
That is a story. And there will be guys drafted today.
Well, Jakey's going to talk about that on Monday.
He is on the live.
On this show.
Tuesday, we pushed it back to.
Tuesday on this show.
Right.
We did. I thought we switched it back.
I asked you to. You said no.
Oops.
We can if you want.
Yeah, I'll switch it back. Why not?
We might have some
programming decisions.
We have some NBA stuff to do Monday next time.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, we'll figure it out off air.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And we'll let Sean McCormick know what the decision is.
So Monday or Tuesday, we'll be doing a live draft recap here, talking about the guys like Kareem Hunt. And like today, that could be Darius Geis that goes in the second round.
Right.
That could be have some major impact. Only two wide receivers taken in the first round. The first time that's happened in 8 years. It took until like the 20th pick or something like that for DJ Moore to go off the board, then Calvin Ridley, and that was it.
People did not like... if you want to measure the video, like these players and how popular these picks were by the videos, I mean, obviously the people are going to be both ends of the spectrum, right? Like, very angry or love it. Like, we saw the Seahawks video got several thousand. I think it's like up to 11,000 right now.
Is that because Scott retweeted it, maybe?
No, it's just like tons of thumbs up. I think we're like 90 thumbs ups on that.
Cool.
And then the Cowboys video, people were angry about that pick. And so there are a lot of thumbs down on it.
Love it.
Like, it's not like the video's
that's
bad.
Really cool. So what did the Barkley video get?
Barkley video didn't... I mean, I think it was because we found during the show that more people were looking for the random defensive players and the ones that no one else is talking about. Those are the ones that shot up immediately.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. The Saquon Barkley stuff, the Baker Mayfield, I think, like, you know, ESPN's doing that, Fox is doing that. So people have a place to see that analysis.
So you're thinking that, like, when your team... drafts a random linebacker, random offensive lineman.
We're one of the few people who can give fantasy
that
analysis.
You don't know anything about. Like, an average person
analysis.
Doesn't know anything about.
Yeah.
We have Emory Hunt here to bring it down, what he does to the running game.
Emory Hunt, did you hear his analysis on the Cowboys pick?
No, I did not.
It was, so he's like, all right, so everyone's saying you got to watch the Oregon game. So he goes, I was watching some tape, and I didn't see anything really special. And everyone's got to say you got to watch the Oregon game, you got to watch the Oregon game. He's like, if this is the first round pick, I don't have to go searching for tape for this guy being awesome. I thought it was a great point. He's like, there shouldn't be just one game I got to look at when this guy's amazing. He goes, what I saw was a guy who wasn't tackling, you know, he was letting guys go 7 yards before tackling, stuff like that. And it's interesting, the comments section, people are like calling him out on that analysis, saying he's wrong and this guy's amazing. And so,
what did Corey say as a Cowboy fan? How do you feel?
Oh, Corey was happy. He said he's immediately the greatest linebacker in the history of the NFL. Corey was happy. He
sure
perked
was.
Right up. Yeah, that's when he was triple fisting, actually, in that video.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. He needed the triple fist after that pick. These guys obviously very happy. Lamar Jackson went in that first round. Yep. The number one quarterback on Emery's board.
Yeah, yeah. Man. There's an interesting... They were arguing pretty... We had like six guys at one point.
Sure.
We had Andy Singleton over there.
Yeah.
We had Jake Seeley on Skype.
Right.
We had Scott Engel on the phone.
Right.
And like all of them were having a very civil discourse on what's going to happen with the Baltimore quarterback situation.
Sure.
Like, who and where's RG3 fit into this whole thing?
Well, RG3 is the mold of Lamar Jackson, obviously, right? These guys work together, they'll figure it out together. Joe Flacco goes away, Lamar Jackson starts, RG3 is the backup, right?
Or does that not happen? Or is RG3 the backup? Like, that was the argument. Is RG3 the backup, or is Lamar Jackson the backup?
Does it matter? Like, I think if Joe... Like,
if something happens to Joe Flacco, who's got an injury history?
Lamar Jackson starts, I think.
I don't know. What if you're... I think Lamar Jackson starts, the team's not good, but I think that's a team, and I think this is the point that's being made last night, that team's going to try and win a Super Bowl. That team's good.
Sure. Well, they think they're good.
I mean, it's not like Houston,
right?
You know, where you can make that switch and put the young QB in, and he's going to give your team a spark when you're doing crappy.
San Francisco, too.
Yeah. Well, San Francisco did at the end of the year.
Well,
but still, same thing. It worked.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know, do you bring in the veteran RG3? I mean, how much more veteran-y is he, really? Like, he's got 2 years on Jackson?
Right, yeah.
But that was the debate. I'm not saying I like one way or the
other.
You're
just explaining the debate. Yeah, no, I think that Lamar Jackson is ultimately the backup, but I don't know. I really don't know. They drafted the tight end. We just talked about him earlier. I think that was interesting. 25 years old already. He played some minor league baseball.
That was cool.
That was cool.
That was one of the points that Singleton was making.
I have to ask you this, because I went off on it about 45 minutes ago now. What did you think of Ryan Shazier last night?
I thought it was nice.
Okay.
Look, you got to be happy to see it. But you're right. I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of a reminder, but I want to flush that out, see the guy walk.
Which is great.
Like, yeah.
Like, I wish I could have done that. I just, I couldn't. I don't know.
It happens, man. You're right.
Yeah.
How about Goodell getting booed to the point where you couldn't hear his welcome?
That's every year.
This was way more.
You think this was worse? Way,
dude, like, you couldn't hear what he was saying. There were so many boos.
Well, I expect that. But it's also so ridiculous to me that you have all these players that hate him, obviously. And for good reason, that's fine.
Yep.
You get the bro hug. Every player comes to give his bro hug.
Oh, that's what you do, man.
Why can't you give him the finger and give him the stunner?
Maybe someone will do that, but you're a college player coming into that. That'd be cool. And I know that's a wrestling reference, and yes. I don't know what it means.
You know what a Stone Cold Stunner is? Really?
Is that when he puts the two arms and then drops the head between the legs?
No, more like... Here's the Macho Man.
Yeah.
He kicks him in the gut. He's like this, and goes like that.
Oh, I know that. Yeah.
That's
what was I thinking of?
No idea what you're talking about.
Who's the guy? You put the legs around your legs, and their heads kind of in your crotch, and then you just bounce down and knock them out like that.
Oh, I think you're doing like this.
No, that's a pile driver.
Right. That's what I thought you were talking about.
Oh, by the way.
Yes.
Side note. Mm-hmm. And hello, everyone. We got an Andre the Giant poster downstairs.
No way.
Like a nice, like thick, like nice finish one too.
Yeah, put it up.
Put it up, or. You could take it. It's not framed or anything. It's just HBO sent it to us.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Props to HBO. Do we have a Daniel Jacobs glove, too?
Yeah, Daniel Jacobs glove.
It's one of the Miracle Man. He's fighting tomorrow night.
Yes, he is. Yeah. Check it out.
Remember, Greg and I went to see the fights.
We did.
We saw him, right? Didn't we see Jacobs?
I don't think. We saw Terrence Crawford.
We saw the guy who's...
Terrence Crawford, right?
Yeah, Terrence Crawford.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Versus Saddam.
Greg and I had a good time.
Versus Saddam Ali.
Yeah. It was great. And we were sitting right in front of the other dude's family.
Ali's family. Yeah.
And they were loud.
They were loud.
But no, wait. No. We were sitting in front of Crawford's family.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was a lot of people off to the side screaming the entire fight.
Correct. Fun night.
It was a good time, yeah. I love Dubai. We had great seats. If you're that close, you
it's
see
my first
it,
like, time I've ever been to a boxing match.
I've been way back for boxing matches, right. And you kind of got to watch it on the big screen.
You're seeing, like...
This, we were here. Like, you see it, you feel it.
Yeah, it was so cool.
Yeah. You can see why people used to love it.
Yeah.
What are you talking about on BFF so I can type it into
the title? BFF, we're talking about the NFL draft. Florio... So Florio Texas last night, I should say this for BFFs, but you're here, so I want to tell you. Florio Texas BFFs, when we thought Frank was coming in, he said, we should have guessed on tomorrow. Like, a beat writer from one of these NFL teams, like, who do you want? So my response was, oh, I'm sure we're all just going to want, like, get a beat writer from our team and talk about our teams. So Florio immediately responds, we should get a Bills writer on. I'm like, it's because it's your team. He's like, no, they made two trades. Everybody cares about them. I go, one of the trades was for a player nobody cares about, and then one was for a quarterback. Like, it was just the most...
Gabe Morenci would have been a good guess for that.
Gabe Morenci would have been good.
Yeah, I love Gabe Morenci.
Should have got Gabe. Whatever.
Well, it's not too late. You can just hit him up and be like, Skype in.
Yeah, then I'm not...
I'm sure about like halfway through the show, you're like, Mike, Florio and I have run out of things to talk about.
Mike, Florio and I are
he's
best friends.
Clearly hungover.
We never run out of things to talk about. I don't even know if he's going to be here, to be honest.
I can stay. But that sets off...
Chrissy Bones, is Florio here?
Meh, we'll find out.
We'll find out.
How about Florio? Are you here?
Mike, Florio, are you here?
Yeah, he's down here.
He's here!
All right! Yeah!
And by the way, Gabe is not going to wake up until Sunday. Forget about that.
Are they just talking to you because I'm not here?
Oh, you didn't hear that? Yeah, Gabe's not going to wake up until Sunday, so right. He's not going to be up until then. That's it, man. What are you doing this weekend?
We're hanging out tomorrow.
We are hanging out tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow starting at 1 o'clock.
Well, I'm coming here.
People are asking, like, how late are you going to be there? I'm like, until I fall down, man. Like, it could be 6 o'clock.
I
don't know.
I'm going to be on the early shift.
The place we're going to is known for making doubles. Of vodkas in pint glasses.
Nando DeFino. I want to thank Greg Bynum. I want to thank Jake Seeley.